Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I am Pat Sloan, and first up, I am going to talk to the creative force behind Lake House Dry Goods Fabric, Holly Hollerderman. Holly is just so amazingly creative. Her company puts out fabric that is just so delightful to work with, and Holly's going to tell me about her creative life. So, Holly, how are you?
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Great, except for that little charge there. I don't know if you heard that, but
it sounded
like an electric shock.
No, you're on. I can hear you good.
Okay, great.
Holly, you know, you started your fabric company. Had you ever done that kind of thing before?
Well, I started I started loving quilts when I was just a girl, and I made my first quilt when I was a teenager. And then fast forward to me living in New York and doing designing, and I had my own design studio, and I was licensing to a variety of manufacturers. And then I started focusing on fabrics, and the rest is history.
You're immensely creative. I mean, I think you have more creative thoughts in like a day than we all have in a year. I really do. I love.
That's very flattering. I don't know if that's true, but it's very flattering.
Well, I love hanging out with you. Whenever I see you at market, I mean, you have just got like, you know, your creative juices are just flying. Tell people a little bit about the style of your Lake House fabrics.
Well, we usually work in three basic sort of genres, I guess, because they're the three styles that I like the most. I love anything with a retro influence and romance, because I've been going to, you know, I've been traveling to Europe for many years, and I love to go to flea markets, and I love the, you know, old crusty scraps of wallpaper and fabrics and old paper ephemera and things like that. So that's a huge influence right there. And then I guess the last would be something new and fresh and bold and graphic. And that's probably an influence from my child going into Crate and Barrel in Chicago and seeing the Marimekko fabric that was hanging from the ceiling. It was it was pretty mind-blowing for me as like a five-year-old to go into that first Crate and Barrel store with my parents.
Oh, that, I bet it was, because probably at five you were already designing things. You know, your brain was already.
Well, I already had my paint set and my little school bag with my kneadable eraser, and you know, things that I coveted. Really pretty chalks and colored markers. I had my favorite colored Crayolas as a kid. You know, I'd already picked out my set, my subset of the master set.
See? Now, our word of the month is innovation. And that's one of the reasons I was very excited to have you come on the show, because you, when you design your fabric lines, there is always something super different and creative and that makes it fun to use your fabric for me as a quilter. I know that you have a new line out called Sunrise Studio. Can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, that's probably the most innovative and quirky of all the things I've done. But I think the goal was to, well, first of all, what all started it was my love of scallops. Mm-hmm. Going to France for so many years, you know, everything in France is scallops, the edge of the awnings, the edge of the tablecloth, the edge of a towel, et cetera. And, you know, I've just been a scallop-aholic for as long as I can remember. And I always had these ideas floating around my head. And basically, I moved into a new house, and I had an old dog that was getting me up in the middle of the night a lot. And one morning, I got up to get him out the door to do his business, and I came back and sat on the sofa to realize that I had the most amazing sunrise going on with all these colors and everything, and it just became like my favorite part of the day. And I kept a sketchbook on my coffee table and would sit and look at the sunrise, and it just flowed from there. But basically, Sunrise Studio is about trying to sort of pre-engineer things in a modular way so that I can bring some of the ideas to other people that I have in my head and make things easier for other people because everyone loves scallops, but who wants to put them on, you know, who wants to do the engineering associated with putting them on the edge of a quilt, for example?
Well,
so
I
worked with all the properties of fabric, and there's a lot of unusual ticks and quirks about fabric. It's a living, breathing organism, as we all know. It's not sheet metal, so it has a lot of properties. So I had to work with those properties and design around all the quirks associated with fabric so that it'd be easy for people to use.
So on this particular line, we're talking about the scallops, which you are just, they're just so cool because you can cut them and make them as inner borders, make them as blocks. You've got all these amazing ways. But you had told me when we were writing back and forth that, you know, there, like you just said, there's things about fabric that you have to, you as a designer have to take into consideration when you're making something that exact.
Right.
Is this cloth woven any differently? How did you compensate so that the scallops are always lined up?
Well, first of all, there's sort of little cheater marks all over the fabric that will be cut away or in the seam allowance after you start working with them. So you're going to rough cut things, and then you're going to fine tune things with a fussy cut. But there's just little tricks of the trade and things that you know when you design fabric, what happens in printing, what happens in the processing, and you have to take all these little elements into account. It's too much to go into, you know, in a 10-minute interview, but we've taken them into account and sort of simplified everything. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of like the average quilter out there that would pick this up would be at a jumping off place for creativity rather than a figuring out place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. So that you've already given the tools sort of on the fabric. Here are some ways that you can line things up so it's going to come out right. Because you've done the figuring out for us.
Most of the figuring out, but it opens up just a plethora of ideas because every shop out there can do their own customization, and I've made some tip sheets so that people can get their bearings on what I'm thinking about. You know, like start with something simple and work your way up from there. Some people are going to maybe be fearful of putting the corners into place because it is engineered so that, you know, all four sides have a corner that links in that creates that full rounded effect of the scallop. And if that's too much for your brain the first time, well, then we have other things you can do with it that look just as cute, just different. So there's just so many things, and we're just scratching the surface and just getting feedback now from designers all over the world that are telling us how much they're loving working with this fabric. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, doing more and seeing more and hearing from people and seeing their pictures because
I
think we're just at a jumping off place.
Isn't that the best part, Holly, when somebody takes what you did and then sends you the photo and says, look.
Yes, especially when it's incredible, you know.
Right.
And it was something completely different than what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Now, you did several free patterns, which is just so gracious and wonderful, and it really helps people with your vision and to really get the most of the fabric. You just did one called Pop Rocks that I am just, like, blown away. Can you describe it?
Well, I did it just for your I guess it's not a viewership, it's your listenership.
Listeners, yay, just for
your
us,
listeners,
you are so nice.
For the Sloan Rangers. I was thinking, all these names started popping up in my head for your posse, Pat.
Okay, the Sloanies.
The Sloanies. And, you know, I've done, I think a great place to start is all over my blog at hollyholderman.typepad.com.
Yeah.
There are little places where I say, are you looking for scallop magic? Click here. And it'll get you to the place where you can do a free download just to get your bearings on what I was thinking about and some visuals on, you know, how to start thinking about how you might use this. Now, people that are more experienced with fabric will take to it like, you know, ducks to water. But the average person, the average quilter out there might be a little more reticent. So read the Scallop Magic tip sheet first, and then look over the free patterns. And the Pop Rocks is probably the most basic because there's nothing really major to line up or to figure out, and I've done all the math. And it's just a simple nine-patch block in the center and then chopped up bits of the scallop on the side, which creates all sorts of fun curved lines. And, you know, I think my motto is everyone loves curved lines in quilts, but how many people want to actually have to deal with it? So it gives you instant curves and lots of yummy colors, and it's a really fun quilt. And it also has some really fun multicolored polka dots in it, so it really... Well, when I was designing it, it started out with one color palette, and as I started placing the fabric, I said, wow, this reminds me of those Pop Rocks where there's all that exciting,
all those
bubbles going off,
right.
You know?
I know.
So that's how it all happened.
I just love that one. I think it's something that looks way more complicated than it is, which is always
really,
very cool.
That's what I love about it. It's really simple. It's
so
really, really
we have
simple.
Like about a minute, Holly. Can you just tell me, you know, what is your sort of favorite thing you like to work on?
Oh my gosh!
In a minute,
the schizophrenic designer. You're asking the schizophrenic designer what her favorite thing is. That's sort of funny. Oh my goodness. Well, I love all the graphic and the merchandising and everything that supports the idea. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most fun things I've done in all these years of doing Lake House are the booth designs and the graphics and the little business cards that people have turned into collectibles. And I love to see this, you know, the smile on people's faces and the little squeals when they come up for the business cards. I know Pam really loves the business cards that we do.
It is, and your booth is always fantastic. You have a great eye and put it all together so wonderfully. I want to give all of your links again. Holly's Holly Halderman at the owner and designer behind lakehousedrygoods.com. And then from there, you can go to her blog, and Holly writes all kinds of wonderful stuff. So thank you
Pat.
Very much for being here, Holly.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Thank you for having me.
We are going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Like American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, and giveaways. Find us at facebook.com/APQ Magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am so excited to have quilt and fabric designer Lori Holt on the show next. She is a dynamic designer. She has, like Holly, ideas that are incredible that never seem to stop. She has a brand new book called Farm Girl Vintage. And so we're going to talk about that because it is packed with totally adorable designs. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm doing great.
You know, I am so glad to catch up with you. You are like the sewing machine in girl form. You are like...
That's right.
And you were alpha
that's
retreat.
That's what I've been told anyway.
Yes, that's right. You are just like an incredible. You've written several books. You've got lots of fabric lines. I'm really excited about the Farm Girl Vintage. How many quilts are in that book?
Wow, there's a lot in there. There's 45 blocks within the book. And then I've designed so many mix and match settings that you can mix the 6-inch with the 12-inch block back and forth. But really, there's the possibilities are endless. I can't even count how many quilts are in there. But I think the actual quilts that we photographed are something like, 18 or something like that.
Right. It is just so fun. What is the, the theme? Because each of your books has somewhat of a theme to it. And Farm Girl, I'm assuming, do you have animals and, farm?
Well, I grew up on a farm. Which is why the farm, it's named Farm Girl. I grew up on a farm. I don't live on a farm anymore. My parents still live there in the small town that I grew up in, about 5 miles from where I live now. But so, I started out the book as a sew-along on my blog, which was called the Quilty Barn Along. Had the sew-along, and I had designed a couple of barn blocks to fit blocks inside of the barn. And it just kind of grew from there and turned into a book.
Do you have a favorite image in that book? Is there one that you're like, oh my gosh, I want to make this over and over?
You know what? I'm not tired of any of the blocks yet, but my favorite ones probably are the animal ones.
I'm looking
like
at your Instagram.
And a chicken and a baby chick. Yeah.
Yeah. The sheep. The sheep is so, oh my gosh, so cute.
Well, we always had sheep growing up, and so they're a favorite of mine.
You know, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about kind of what your specialty is. And I don't know if you've always worked like this, but you do a lot of construction of your images, particularly things, using what I call, maybe everybody calls it, sew and flip, where you're sewing on a line, then you're flipping a triangle over so that you...
Yeah, I call it easy corner triangles. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, and that I have designed like this for years. So...
What is the most common thing that people can do to improve that? Because I know sometimes people have a problem with the technique when they're first trying it.
Well, the technique is from sewing from corner to corner. I just cut out a square instead of a triangle, and then you sew from corner to corner on that square, and then you trim off, which forms the triangle. So that way your piece doesn't get distorted because you sew first and then flip it and press it. And so it doesn't have the opportunity to be distorted like it does when you cut out a triangle instead of a square. So most of the times when they have problem, I think they're not sewing right from point to point. They haven't marked their square. They're just guessing.
Because if you guess, it can get distorted if you're not actually straight, right?
Exactly. Because I can't guess a straight line. I might think I can, but I really can't. So it's best to mark it or to use a tool or to mark a line with a piece of tape on your machine that centers with the needle.
So are you ever leaving the all the layers in those underneath, or do you always cut them away?
I don't. Yes, I do cut them away, so I don't have that bulk. I like to cut them away, and most of the time when I'm using smaller pieces, I will press my seams open as well.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about putting the blocks together, like how you think, like as a designer, when you've come up with all these great images, how do you plan getting them all into a quilt? Because you don't always do just side by side. You have lots of great different layouts.
Yeah, I do a lot of different layouts. There's always the good basic ones. They're, they never go wrong. But I like to do several different creative ones to show off the block. First, I start out by designing the block, obviously. And then I just come up with a setting that I might think complements that block or goes along with that theme. So that's what I did with my Farm Girl Vintage book. I have seven different settings that you can mix and match them. And you're quilt will look completely different when you use different fabric colors, different themes, different blocks. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been really fun for me to be working with now.
I love that part. I love seeing an unusual setting, and you have been a designer for a long time, so you have a lot of different patterns besides what's in your books. And I think that's one of the things that always drew me to your work, Lori, was a bit of the asymmetry that you enjoy.
I do enjoy that. That's why I like to design and use the easy corner triangles, because it allows me to draw blocks such as objects, which are my favorite. Mm-hmm. And it allows me to design those and sew those in a way that I have to use templates, maybe like our grandmothers or great grandmothers had to, and it's an easy method. And it just allows for more creativity for me.
Now, I wanted to talk about Instagram just a little bit, because you have a blog called Be In My Bonnet, co.blogspot.com, but you also have been super active on Instagram, which is a picture related site. Not everybody's over there yet, but
which I love it, because it's picture related.
Yeah, so you're snapping pictures in your studio and talking about it. How often do you share on there? Is it like once a day, or?
It's at least once a day most of the time, but usually 3 or 4 times a day. Yeah. And that's why I like it. It's just instant. I can, show people what I'm doing, my process, what I'm doing, share with others who like the same kind of things. And it's just really a fun thing to do. It's faster than my blog. I still enjoy my blog, but I don't post there as often as I do on Instagram, because it's not as easy, I guess.
Right. I think it's the easy part. It's just take a picture. You are an incredible photographer.
Thank you. I do love to take pictures.
Yeah, you do an amazing job just sort of laying things out that makes us all want to have it. Well, it doesn't matter what it is.
I like to show off my vintage things because I think they're fun. And, I love the colors that they are, and those are the things that inspire me. I'm always inspired by vintage in all of my designs and all my fabric designs and in all of my patterns. It's always vintage.
So when you're showing a lot of the pictures, when you show your home and it has that, you've got cool containers or things, is that your home then? You're not going somewhere else and taking pictures?
It is my home. I call it my cottage. So a lot of people, think it's a separate place, but it is my cottage. And my cottage is my home. Mm-hmm. And that's what I live with, vintage all around me. I've been collecting for over 30 years, ever since I've been married, and I love vintage items, and I love to use them and to decorate with and to use them in unique ways. And so everything that you see on my Instagram and on my blog is in my home.
Yeah, that is so cool. You have like a big storage shed for some of this? I mean, it's like...
No, I just use them. If I can't fit them in my home, then I just can't have it. I have to put out with the old and in with the new. Or in with the new old, I guess.
That's right. Because sometimes you just want to freshen it up. You want to have something different. And so.
Yes, I'm always moving things around. And, a lot of times I'll have a vintage piece for 10 years in one room and then decided to paint it a new color and move into another room. So, I usually keep my major furniture pieces that I love, and I change them up with different colors and use it for different things over the years.
I think that's what's also fascinating about just your design aesthetic, Lori, is that you will repaint things. I mean, it's not like...
I do.
Yeah, most of us are like, oh, it's been that for like ever, but not you, no.
No, I love color, and like I say, I love a piece of furniture that has good bones, and it's mm-hmm. like, why get rid of it if you don't like the color, you're tired of it, and, just change it up, and all of a sudden, old becomes new.
So you have several, maybe this is a question. Do you have several vintage sewing machines as well?
I do. I love vintage sewing machines. They just don't make them like they used to sometimes. So those old ones are great. I especially love my featherweights. And I use those whenever I go on retreat or sew day. So I've sewn many, many quilts on my featherweights.
And are you repainting those as to other colors or?
Actually, my husband, has painted a few of them. He painted my daughter Cassidy's. She wanted a pink one, and so he tested that out, and I had a white featherweight that needed a paint job. It was really in bad shape, so he bought some automotive paint and painted it pink. And
perfect.
I have a red one that I call Miss Lucy, and he gave that to me for my birthday last year. And so, yeah, it's all about color for me, even with sewing machines.
You know, that is the fun part, all about the color. What we have like about 30 seconds. What is your newest fabric line that people can find in stores or your most current?
Well, my most current is called Flower Patch, but my newest one is coming out in a few months called Modern Minis.
Okay. And can they see that at your website then?
Yes, they can see it at my website, at the Riley Blake website, who I design for.
Great.
And you can see it also on Fat Quarter Shop at the coming, you know, or What's New, and on their pages and on several websites as well.
Well, Lori, this has been so much fun.
Thank you, Pat. It's been fun for me, too.
Yeah, I'm glad to finally catch up with you.
I know, me too.
I know. Well, we are going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of tips. So we'll see you in a minute.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me in 2015 for a brand new video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Lock. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this show is brought to you by Moda Fabrics that you can visit at Moda Bake Shop or modafabrics.com. Go out there and see what's new and what's going on in the land of Moda. So I am super happy the second half of the show here. We are going to talk a lot of techniques and troubleshooting with my good friend Joan Ford. Joan has been on before where we talked about scrap therapy. You can listen to July 28th, 2014 and June 10th, 2013 episodes where we chatted in the past. But today she has a new book out and we're going to talk about that. And I think we may talk about scraps just a little bit. Hi, Joan. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you doing? Thanks so much for having me on again. I feel like an old friend.
There we go. See? Now, this is the way it's supposed to be, you know. Just come back on when you got new stuff, new ideas. Your book is called, your latest book, because you've written many, is When Bad Things Happen to Good Quilters, a survival guide for fixing, finishing any quilting project. Now, this title just absolutely cracks me up. I mean... How did this book come about?
Well, actually, the Taunton Press, who is my publisher, has a series of books with a similar format, When Bad Things Happen to Good Knitters, Crocheters. And they actually approached me and said, you know, we've got this concept, When Bad Things Happen to Good Quilters. Uh-huh. And I said, you know, this is perfect for me because I'm so passionate about just appreciating the entire process of making a quilt. So I said, let's do it.
Isn't that nice to have? Sometimes it's fun to have the idea come to you. You know, then you can build the story around it. They're like, here, go.
Still, though, I had to scratch my head a little bit because I thought, well, this is great. But then how do you come up with, all right, so what exactly does this mean? So it was great to have the idea thrown out, but then now what?
This type of book's a bit more work than just putting together patterns.
True. Very true.
Yeah, this takes a lot of thought and research and really sort of digging deep. I think particularly when, I don't know how you felt when you were looking at it, Joan, but my thought was like, you know, that would be hard for me to come up with things on my own because I've been sewing for so long. You know, it's hard to put yourself back sometimes into what you thought or what you ran into when it was all sort of new. Did you feel that?
That's true. That's true. I really did kind of have to put my beginner mode on my thinking cap here and think about what happens when things go wrong. And then I started thinking about some of the conversations I've had with my quilty girlfriends. And one of my friends said, you know, I really think that we have so many UFOs because something goes wrong. Ah. And then that made me think, well, you know, something goes wrong and then we kind of stop and have to scratch our head or redo the math or really concentrate on the pattern. And when something goes wrong, sometimes it means the quilt project just gets put on the shelf and you don't really touch it again. Well, you say you're going to, but you know how it is with the shiny new object. There's this new project and, you know, there's a new fabric line and Pat Sloan has a new book and, you know, you just kind of go on and you forget, forget about that project. But then you feel bad because all these UFOs stack up. And, well, you know me, I don't like anything associated with guilt having to do with this hobby. I feel that way with scraps and I feel that way about when bad things happen too. So it just started to come together that what happens that make people abandon a project?
Yeah, for those people who are really new to quilting, a UFO is unfinished object.
Oh, yes.
yes. That happens
on
my Facebook.
You forget that's such a common term for us.
I know. If you're new, you're like, what? Spaceships? No. I think that that's just sort of a revelation that you and your friends came up with was, you know, that they're UFOs because of a problem. What are the chapters that you ended up, you know, just sort of the highlights so we're going to talk a little detail on them.
Well, I started to think, okay, so how do you break that down? And I started to think, well, you know, you start with a sewing machine, you start with, as I call that, hardware. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what could go wrong with a sewing machine? So that's kind of covered in that section. And then what I call the software is all the good stuff like fabric and threads and all those fluffy things that we buy, batting and all that, to go into our quilts. And then I kind of started breaking it down into the specifics of now that we have these things, what do we do? Let's sew. How do we do some of the math? How do you calculate different quantities of fabric, and then actually making a few projects.
So are there actual projects in this book?
Yes, there's four projects in the book, and they're really meant to capitalize on some of the concepts that are covered in the book. There's a hand piecing project. There's actually a T-shirt quilt in there. And there's two bonus projects, too. There's one that you get to open for free if you just visit the Taunton site. And then there's another that's referenced in the book. So it's really quite a lot of cool stuff in there.
Oh, neat. Now, do you, Joan, have a project? maybe you don't have it anymore now that you wrote this book, but do you have one that when you started the book, you thought, oh my gosh, there is that UFO I've stuffed in the bottom shelf in a bag?
I might have one or two.
That's all, just one, right?
Well, I have to say, I used to be a real rabid finisher, and I wouldn't start a new project until I finished the next one. But I think what slows me down sometimes is they get backed up at the quilting phase and some deadline comes up. You know how it is, Pat. Mm-hmm. You're writing books, you're doing patterns, and then the deadline approaches and, oh, you know, I don't need to quilt this one. It's a personal project, so I'll put that away. And I like to spend a lot of time with the quilting just because it creates the essence of the quilt. But then there's one or two projects. I can think of one in particular, a hand-dyed applique piece that, that the applique pieces were made from hand-dyed fabrics. And I thought I'd just kind of get ahead of myself. And there were some lines on the background, and I thought I'd just rinse those out before I started to quilt the project. Bad, bad, bad idea. But, you know, with all projects and all problems, it just went from bad to worse because the hand-dyed fabrics bled into the background fabric. Okay, that shouldn't have been a surprise. Yeah. So what did I do? I grabbed the bleach, and I tried to just get just a little bit of that applique dye out, and it was just one. You know, sometimes these things just compound each other. It's like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. You think you're fixing it and then right down the chute. And I think one of the biggest things that happens sometimes is you get nervous. You see things going wrong and you just don't think. And so that was my classic.
It's like, oh, let's just do one more thing, right?
Yeah. Let me just try this one more thing and then it does not get better. It's just
right.
Let it go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I'm sure nothing like that has ever happened to you.
No, not like that. I was sitting here trying to think, well, I think a lot of people do get to their toppers, you know, they make tops, and then when it comes to the quilting, you know, it's more fun to make the tops, so we have tons of tops. But I was just trying to think of projects that are in progress, because I have some design ones where the designing of it, because I'm not doing something normal, it might be, it's more like, you know, sort of mashing it all together as I go. I have a few that stalled where I needed to really get it on the board and have time with it. And I don't have that right now. So they're in the bags.
I have a couple of those too. Don't even go there.
Right. Yeah. They just take a while. So I want to talk about a few of the different techniques that you have, not techniques, but a few of the resolutions, maybe that's a good word to say, you know, something that's happened that we can share. I thought it'd be fun in the hardware one. You have, you're very clever. You have fun words, and we're talking about, sort of tension, you know, with the sewing tension. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, one of the sidebars was called relieving tension, and I do like to try to create little common phrases and turn them into quilty phrases. And the relieving tension section is in the hardware section, and it's a real simple trick. Sometimes beginner quilters or advanced quilters don't even realize that by changing your needle plate from the straight stitch needle plate, from the standard needle plate to the straight stitch needle plate, that can affect your tension in a positive way. And what I mean by the straight stitch needle plate is that little metal piece of covering over the bobbin case. And the straight stitch needle plate has a circular, very small circular opening so that the needle goes in and out, grabs the thread from the hook system down below. By changing and using that straight stitch needle plate while you're quilting, you can avoid some of the drag that happens with your needle going up and down with a larger hole on the standard needle plate. So it's just one of those little tips that you may not think about. You may be experiencing some tension issues while you're quilting. If you change that needle plate, it might make all the difference and just change something that you could spend hours and hours scratching your head about.
You know, I think that a lot of people don't even realize that their machines have two plates with them. And some, you know, if you haven't looked at your machine for a while, you know, like your gadgets that came with it, you know, dig in there and see if you can find the one with the straight plate. Does it ever scare you? Because I'm an applicator, it always scares me I'm going to forget to change it back.
Yeah, that's kind of critical. But, you know, your sewing machine will tell you right away. Actually, your needle will tell you right away that you haven't done that. So best not to forget that. And sometimes it's good just to put a little sticky note when you've got that on your, when you've changed to the straight stitch needle plate, just put a little sticky note on your sewing machine base there, cover that says, don't forget to change the needle plate. So you can have a little reminder there, too.
Yeah,
but I agree. It's easy to forget that.
Yeah, I've had students come for my applique class and they hadn't changed it. It's not good, not good.
There's a lot of markings there, though, too, that are very useful.
There are. Yeah, those plates have a lot of information. I want to do one more thing before we take a break because you're coming back for the end of the show. Talk to me a little bit about flannel.
Flannel? What about?
what do we need to know about it? Is it going to be stretchy? Do we need
Yeah, well, I it's thicker. I don't think it plays in smaller sizes as well. I think it tends to like bigger sizes. Mm-hmm. And it is a little bit more stretchy because it's a slightly different type of, it's still cotton, but it's a slightly different kind of weave. And I'm actually a big fan of, I don't like necessarily like mixing it with the regular cotton weaves. I'm not as, my go-to fabric is the regular cotton weaves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the flannel, like when people, it also unravels more. So it's going to, like you
can't. Spreads everywhere.
Yeah, so you have, and you might have, and you're going to obviously have more lint from it because it's fuzzy.
But it makes a super warm quilt, and if you're from someplace like upstate New York, like I am, flannel is a really good go-to in the winter months.
Now I have mixed them, but I find that I will heavily quilt the pieces that were mixed, so that helps I think a little bit to give the whole quilt, the final quilt, some. Good balance, with across it.
Well, so it adds a little stability there, too, so that the stretchiness of the flannel doesn't work itself out over time.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, Joan, and when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about your book and then some other things.
Sounds good.
So we're going to be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting. And I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to Joan Ford, and we are discussing her newest book, up with tips and tricks to help us make our quilting better and figure out what went wrong. Joan, one of the things that so many people, I think, have trouble with, and maybe they don't realize that's the problem, is getting an accurate fourth of an inch seam. Do you think that?
Oh, yeah, I think that's... That's a common theme I see when I teach or when I have a group of quilters involved. And you know what? It's so, I think it's so critical to get that right early on in the project. Thinking way back when I first started, I know that I was very bad at keeping my accurate quarter-inch seam allowance. And, man, it's just so much easier to have things go smoothly. You just hate to start fudging things right from the get-go when you start a new project. And that's where I think also, you know, paying attention to what your sewing machine, all the clues that your sewing machine has right there on the sewing machine bed or on the needle plate can really make a big difference. And there's lots of different techniques to perfect that.
Do you give several ways in your book for checking it, or do you have one go-to method?
Well, I have lots of different methods that I have in my bag of tricks. I think the first thing is always to know your sewing machine, know the markings on the needle plate. For the book, I turn to several quilt industry teachers and professionals, and in this case, I got some advice from Susan Cleveland on what she likes to tell people about getting that quarter-inch seam correctly. But I also think that, you know, there's no one method for anything in quilting, it seems, and so having the sewing edge or a cutting edge on your sewing machine is helpful. There's lots of different gadgets to know where to put that marker so that you can use your guide on your sewing machine edge, or on your sewing machine foot, I mean. You know, so there's lots of different ways. And then, of course, I think the key thing is make a test block. Because, you know, when you turn your sewing machine off and take it to class, you may not be on the sewing machine that you're most comfortable using. Things change, and so things may have reset. So do that test seam right at the beginning, and make sure that everything's where you expect it to be. Press the seam to one side and measure again, because I think, you know, you just don't want to have to struggle with the whole process all the way through. It shouldn't be a struggle. It should be fun.
Right. It should be fun. And I also think a lot of people just assume that if they put the quarter inch foot on there, that one, they know exactly where their fabric should be placed with it, or two, that it is 100% accurate, and it's not always 100% accurate.
There's so many factors involved. And some of it can be just the mood that you're coming to class. Sometimes you just kind of, if you're so excited to be there with your girlfriends and you're talking, or even at home, you can have lots of distractions that you're not necessarily paying attention like you should.
Yeah, I like the guide on the edge of the foot, because that gives me another visual that I'm up against. But, you know, that's just me. So, you know, there's try different things.
Yeah, placing something on your sewing machine bed helps too. You know, using your feet, using the markings. Again, there's lots of different ways to pay attention to that. Yeah, and I think the key thing is testing. Testing and measuring. You can't really go wrong once you see where you are.
Right. Well, if you've got it, then you have it. So let's change gears and talk a little bit about innovation. This is kind of the theme this month, and I talked with Holly earlier about innovation in her fabric lines. And you are doing a lot of interesting work right now with very, very tiny, tiny little scraps and foundations. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, and it's funny, because when the second book came out, Scrap Therapy, Scraps Plus One, there was a really intricate quilt that ended up on the cover. It's called 99 Bottles, and it had little bitty 9 patches that I actually sewed 1-inch squares together to make the 9 patches. And folks knew me for having created an interfacing product with QuiltSmart from the couple of projects in the first book. And so they said, oh, I bet you have an interfacing for that. And I didn't at the time. So I got busy creating one, because I thought, wouldn't it be great to be able to stabilize all those little 1-inch squares and create 9 patches? And so the Mini Scrap Grid is a product that I developed that makes that 99 bottle so much easier to make. I'm currently, here's a little scoop, I'm currently working with QuiltSmart to develop 2 new 9-patch interfacing products, one using 1.5-inch squares and one using 2-inch squares. So look for those, like, any minute. Any minute is very, very exciting, because when you think about the 9-patch, I mean, there's just so many possibilities. We all think of the classic Irish chain block, which is really, really straightforward and simple. But then you start adding half-square triangles and alternating blocks, and it's just so exciting.
I know. It's a basic block, but it is so much more than that. And
can you tell I'm excited about it?
Yes, I know. And it's also fun to explore. I'm a real advocate for working in series, and that's what I like about you. I think that's one of the things we kind of bond over, because you take it at the approach of whatever you're working on, Joan, and you try it this way, try it that way, experiment with this, and keep manipulating forward. So nine patches are not just plain little things when you get hold of them.
No, they are, but then they're not.
But then they're not. No, yeah. they're 1 inch finish. No, that's not plain. That's
inch and a half finish, not 1 inch.
You start
with 1 inch squares, and then they become inch and a half finish. That's so much bigger than 1 inch finish, Pat. Come on.
Oh, much, much bigger. Oh, excuse me. Yes. Oh my goodness. You know, when you are working like a technique like that, this is just kind of came in my head. Do you make small size projects to sort of work through something, or are you making large ones right away?
Oh, I guess I'm a classic quilter at heart. I just jump into the big stuff.
You like big quilts,
you know, don't
right?
you think? I see that a lot with brand new quilters. They make king size quilts before they realize maybe this would be better in a lap size. But I have to admit, though, it's probably a combination of both. Sometimes, you know how it is. You get an idea and you just have to go with it, even though it might be a large size quilt. And with some of the tools, some of the innovations, the interfacing, for example, it just makes it easy to do whatever you want, you know, let it go and go for it. But I'd like the smaller projects too, because they're done. They're done real fast.
Right. Right. It's like some instant gratification, even.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even just like, you know, well, minis, but I'm thinking more like just, you know, smaller lap maybe, you know, so you're not doing a whole major, you know, queen or king size piece.
Right. I'm a big fan of the table runner.
Yes. There we go. Done.
Exactly.
So you also, at your website, hummingbird-highway.com, you have a newsletter that's really fun. Can you tell me a little bit about what you write about?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the Good Migrations e-zine. It comes out once a week, every Thursday, and it is, you name it. I mean, basically what's going on in my sewing studio, what's going on around my yard, what's going on when I'm out on the road, the people that I visit. And sometimes I take little side trips, so I try to put some pretty pictures in there, too. But it's basically, you know, the day in the life, all kinds of things that happen. It's just meant to be a really fun, really light recounting of stuff that's going on in my studio. Lots of times it might be a little tutorial, maybe a little bit of a sneaky peek of things that are coming, things that I'm working on. I just love kind of talking about, I'm very passionate about this. I don't know if you recognize that. I don't know if that comes through, but it's just fun to kind of talk about what's happening and get the feedback, get everybody excited about things. So it's called Good Migrations, and it's called that because I am just absolutely crazy about birds. And there's a lot of bird analogy that sometimes sneaks in without realizing it.
Yes. You have to. And you, and do you have birds as pets? Do I remember that?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. I fed them some treats before I started the conversation. I have two conures that are very, very noisy and very, very fun. And I have a Amazon parrot named Peaches.
Oh, Peaches. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, she's my receptionist because she says hello real good.
Oh,
and
there
you go. The conures are my security.
They're squawk.
Exactly.
So besides writing weekly via like a subscription newsletter, which is free, do you write regularly like on Facebook or blog, Instagram?
Yeah, I do a little bit of all that. I wish I could spend a lot more time doing all that stuff, but I do have a Facebook business page and a Twitter account. It seems like I'm experimenting a lot more with Instagram lately. It's a lot of instant gratification. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But the newsletter is the big thing that I spend the most amount of time on. So, but you can follow me on all those, and you never know, some idea might come in, and you just got to post it.
I know. Well, that's
another thing. I just started a Facebook group where I'm just about to using that new interfacing I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. One of the nine patch interfacings. We're going to do block swap, so we'll do that by mail, and we're just getting that started. So that's a Facebook group that I just started.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of
fun. You can learn about that on the newsletter. So.
Okay. So I have a wrap up question. When you go to a show, Joan, like a quilt show, what attracts you first? I mean, what are you excited to go see first? The fabric.
Everything. But if I have to choose, well, it's probably a toss up between looking at the quilts and visiting the vendors. And so it's nice when the two are kind of mixed in and kind of travel from one to the other. When I'm looking at the quilts, I just absolutely love and appreciate the stuff that's done by hand. The hand applique pieces, the hand quilted pieces, especially the larger ones. I'm just in awe of the effort and time and the results of things like that. So, of course, I always like to check out the vendors and see what's new. And doesn't color draw us all in? I mean, that's probably the big thing that catches your eye.
Yeah. I'm the color one. I'm just like, you know, if it's bright and shiny, you know, or whatever the thing is, I am like all about the color.
Striking combinations, new shapes and colors. It's just such a great hobby, isn't it?
Yes. It's a fabulous hobby.
I think I'll stick with it.
Yeah. Just one more thing, and then we'll wrap it up. We have like 30 seconds. When bad things happen to good quilters, this is for anybody, right? It's not just for beginners.
Absolutely. I think there's something in there for everyone. My favorite part of the book is the glossary. So it's there's a little bit of humor in there as well. So absolutely.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Joan, for coming on.
Thanks so much, Pat. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit American Patchwork Magazine at allpeoplequilt.com. You can visit me at patsloan.com. We both have newsletters. We both write all the time. And so we'd love to have you join us there at our websites and on Facebook and Instagram and every place else that you like to hang out. And I will talk to you next time.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for